Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining Dr. Perletta Ramos and Roz Shell in Living Life Powerfully. We help you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary by claiming your power, getting your heart in the game, and learning how to live from the inside out. Let's create more happiness and success in your life.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in today. We are about to embark on a journey that few of us want to take because we all want to be happy as a society, personally, and in all the ways we want to enjoy our life. And I feel personally that as a society, we have lost a sense of grief, fear, and despair as universal experiences. We're just quick to label suffering as pathology, as something is wrong, as a failure, even an inadequacy, and we are looking for a quick fix to end it, whether it's to run away from it, whether it's to just, somehow to just end this moment. And these dark emotions seem to bring us to a screeching halt in our lives and stop us from living a peaceful and joyful life. However, what this show is about is really challenging our mindsets about despair and depression and embracing the wisdom in our dark emotions. Can we actually learn, grow, and thrive as a result of these emotions instead of avoiding and denying them? Can the emotions that afflict us be the vehicles? They will be the very vehicles, the catalyst that's going to help us renew the possibility of living a powerful and transformed life. Can we be less fearful and more curious and in awe of these emotions and of ourselves within these emotions?
Raj, what if you're not aware of these emotions?
What if you're not aware of them? That's a great question.
I find that I tend to not be aware. I think sometimes, folks just, if you ask maybe the average person whether they're depressed, they may not say yes. Maybe they've experienced it for however they're feeling for a while, or maybe it just doesn't occur for them as depression, or we all have ups and downs, right? So maybe it's just a period of being down.
Well, so. and the kind of depression, that's a really good point, Perletta, that you bring up, because there's the clinical depression where it's become a mindset and it's become a mental state that it is very difficult to get out of that state. And then there are those ups and downs that you're talking about, like, we all have them, it's kind of like a roller coaster, and life is like that, and we accept that. However, there is something where maybe if you look at your patterns, it's maybe become very cyclical. You can just kind of see it coming, that now you're going to go into this down place. Maybe those down places are becoming longer and longer. What's the pattern in your life? And what about the despair? How are we in relationships? How are we in situations? Do we easily get knocked off our game? What's going on there? Do we continue to change? Are we able to maintain friendships? Or do we just go from one thing to another thing to another thing? Maybe then we're avoiding something. So this whole thing, this clinical depression. Now, if I just want to warn you though, if you do have clinical depression where you are unable to be functional in the world, you can't keep a job, you can't keep relationships, you just can't go on from day to day, by all means, you need to get into professional help immediately. Does that answer your question, Perletta?
Yes. What I hear you saying is there's a broad spectrum from clinical depression to life's ups and downs and the challenge that you're asking of listeners and of me, I suppose, is for us to find, you know, wherever it is that we may be experiencing, you know, what might be considered negative emotions, and look for how it can inform us and teach us and the opportunities for us to grow. That's what I think I hear you saying.
Well, as a therapist, I am used to hearing really painful stories of clients who believe that they are defective because they are suffering. And it's due to their past most of the time. And they'll say, you know, it was either bad parenting, or it was, you know, my experiences. It's the way friends treat me. And you know, maybe they had a horrible school experience, whatever their past was. And that getting therapy and reading all the self-help books out there is going to help them get rid of their suffering once and for all. So what I will do is I will inquire how they learned about dealing with their emotions. Clients will often say, well, as youngsters, they were humiliated, they were punished, they were ignored, neglected, they were labeled oversensitive, or they were whipped for having the normal range of emotions. Many of us have never experienced what it is like to swim through these difficult emotions, or that it is even possible, because we've just been shut down whenever we felt anything. Have you ever been labeled, or has anybody ever commented on your ability to express your emotions,
I'm on the other end of the spectrum, where people tend to think that I don't show enough emotion, Raj. And I'll say, unfortunately, I don't see myself that way, but I have to say I've been given some self-feedback.
Is that right?
Yes.
I'm shocked.
Here's the beauty of it. We're all very different, and I tend to be more mentally focused than emotionally focused. And so I work on developing my emotional intelligence and being aware of how I feel. But the first thing that comes to me in terms of probably how I learned to cope years ago is what I think. I immediately go to, what do I think and what do I need to do versus, you know, the feeling. So, no, I don't tend to get caught up in my emotions. Now, I do get caught up in my thoughts. And I certainly get caught up in my actions, because I'm a busybody. And so this question that you're in about despair and depression is very intriguing to me, because I certainly have known friends and family members who I would categorize, or probably have categorized, as overly emotional. And I don't tend to understand it because I tend to, like I said, focus on my thoughts. So I'm curious as to, when you know, what causes somebody to get caught up in the emotion? Because I'll get caught up in the doing, right? I guess getting caught up is getting caught up, no matter how you're getting caught up.
So that's really interesting. So if you do see someone who is depressed or in despair, you're confused. It's like, why? Just, you know, do something about it.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. You can't really relate to that.
Well, no, because a part of it is the focusing on the thoughts or the emotions that create the depression doesn't help. And sometimes it seems to me that people who are depressed are in an emotional loop, you know, and they're thinking thoughts that make them feel bad, and then they may do things that make them feel bad. And I don't understand. It's like you have to do something outside of, or think something outside of the cycle, because it's just going to take you back to the same place. And that's a part of, I think, maybe what people don't understand about it, or at least it's what I don't understand about it, being a non-clinical person.
Well, I am just so glad we're in this conversation then, okay? Because I think this will maybe help us get a little bit of insight into why? I mean, I think there are a lot of people that feel that way, that, you know, they don't want to be in despair and depression. Maybe it's because we don't know how to swim through these emotions. We don't know how to deal with these difficult emotions. So we just stay on the outskirts. So I'll give you an example. When I was 12, okay, it was late when I learned how to swim. I was a little afraid of the water, and I would go, my friends would say, come on, let's go to the pool. And I would just stand on the side of the pool, and I'd just watch everybody swim. But I was scared. Although the water was very inviting, I just didn't want to go. I just didn't want to take the risk, okay? I didn't. It just looked too hard out there. But one day, a friend just pushed me into the water. Of course, I was very scared. It was a very unpleasant experience because I went down. I was in the 3 feet of water, but I felt like I was drowning. Until I learned, okay, I started moving my arms, started moving my legs and my whole body, and I started breathing properly. And I'll never forget that day, because once I could feel that, you know, as I was, you know, moving everything, and I could get my breath, even though I was in very shallow water, I still didn't think I could stand up in it. But what I discovered was that the water would actually hold me up if I just moved around in it. And then I realized that it's once it holds me up, that it's going to carry me to wherever I wanted to go. So I really thank that friend who pushed me in, because I discovered a new freedom. I think that's what this is, similar to that, in that we learn that our emotions are there for a reason, no matter if they are, you know, quote, positive or negative, and that they are there to teach us. We just always prefer to have those positive emotions.
Oh, how about this?
Similarly,
I think that sometimes people, it seems like people wallow in their emotions. So how do you distinguish between someone who is just having, you know, a moment, because we all have moments, and someone who wallows in feeling bad?
Okay, so everybody has their own process. Everybody, and so what we look at as wallowing may be the person just needing to sit there, needing to talk about it, needed to dwell in it. So I think that's one of the things that we as family members, or we as, you know, friends, coworkers, we need to not perhaps label that, because that would be just like labeling somebody oversensitive. We all have different ways that we connect to the, you know, to the, especially the darker emotions. And some of us may need to, what, you know, what you're talking about wallowing, just maybe we need to be with that a little bit more, and maybe just, you know, processing that. And one of the worst things we can do is have the person be distracted from it or to run away from it. So I think this labeling of someone else and how they're processing their grief or their emotions is one way to allow the person to be with it. And, you know, just like I was talking about the swimming example, we have to take the plunge into these difficult emotions and learn to navigate through our own pool of belief systems. Okay, we have belief systems around emotions. What we end up learning is more about ourselves through these emotions. We end up learning about our hearts, our connections, our limitations. We learn about forgiveness. We learn how to move on. We learn how to be resilient. And we learn how to listen to ourselves.
That's a very different way, I think, that most of us consider when I think of depression or having a low. I don't think of it in the context of learning how to do all the things that you just listed. I mean, so that's a very different kind of conversation. It's one of the reasons why I think people don't like to acknowledge being depressed or feeling bad, because there is a negative, you know, association with, you know, depression, or, you know, not being mentally stable if you feel bad. And so this idea that you're bringing up, that, you know, it can be a gateway to forgiveness, and a gateway to learning resilience, and a gateway to deeper self-understanding, is a very powerful concept. It's actually one I haven't considered. Certainly, after listening to your response, I feel like maybe I've been insensitive when I've had or known family members or friends who have been blue for long, from my perspective, long periods of time, because it's like, you know, how is that serving you to be blue? Well, you've just given me the answer. It may be serving them, and I think perhaps when we judge others or ourselves, it's because we don't perceive the person as measuring up to our sense of what they should be doing with it, but it's not for us to decide, right? It's for them to decide how it may be serving them.
Absolutely. And the fact that they are wallowing with, what, you know, like if we want to label it, with you is a real honor, because they're working through their stuff with you, and they trust you, and they feel safe with you. So it's really important to honor that.
But how do you? You know that I love the Buddhist concept related to, you know, suffering, right? And how mm-hmm. that we create our own suffering by our attachment to whatever the thing is. But how do you rectify the idea of, you know, creating your own suffering from a host of things, but to say your attachment? And to this, it might be an attachment to an emotion, or an attachment to an idea, or an attachment to something from the past that might make you sad or blue, or a relationship. You know, how do you rectify the idea of you're creating that with the notion of, you know, being where you are and then manifesting something positive from it? Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand exactly what you're saying. And, you know, we have to first, let's, you know, go into it with some steps, okay? So the first thing is, like, let's just look at the basic considerations. So number one, we have a limited understanding of our emotions. In fact, we are not adept at even identifying them appropriately, okay? Most people only know the basic emotions such as anger, fear, surprise, disgust, happiness, and sadness. These are the six basic emotions. So imagine if you only had four crayons, you would be limited to what you could create. Now imagine if you had 36 different colored crayons. Now what? Now you can create a whole lot more. You can be more specific. You can be more expressive. In the same way, if we expand our emotional vocabulary, you know, I've seen lists of more than 200 different emotions. We could understand our feelings in a wider context. So I think we're limited by our understanding of all the different emotions. We could differentiate the range of emotions, and we could understand ourselves by creating more appropriate meanings of our emotions. So Carl Jung states, emotion is the chief source of all becoming conscious. There can be no transforming of darkness into light and of apathy into movement without emotion. It just cannot happen, according to Carl Jung. Okay, the second consideration is that there is a paradox of emotional suffering, and this being the source of something good is difficult for us to grasp, because emotional suffering does not feel good. But that's the paradox. The human response to suffering is to want to end it, because How can something which deprives us of joy, love, meaning, hope, and energy be a welcome guest, even for 5 seconds? Now, when we are in the grips of an emotional storm, there is usually no positive movement on the mental or physical level. However, there's an inquiry being made at the deep level of who we are. It's, why am I here? What is my purpose? There's some really important inquiries being made at the heart and soul level. And these dark emotions have tremendous power to reach deep into our core, but only if we are able to befriend these painful emotions. Then there is a possibility of deepening our experiences, understanding ourselves in a way that we can use this truth for the good of ourselves and for others and our planet. So firstly, identify your beliefs about these dark emotions. And secondly, changing these beliefs about these emotions. So what my grief says about me is that I am open and loving. What I'd most like to do with my despair is learn from it and live fully, no matter what painful emotions I am feeling. So, you know, this is like a very, it is a paradox, which is very difficult to understand and get through. And the third consideration is, it is possible to realize and live from our true and authentic self, but it is crucial that we learn to be with the way it is instead of the way we want it to be. The way it is instead of the way we want it to be. Despair, depression, grief, fear, these are all human emotions, and without them, we would not be human and probably not be able to survive. For example,
I think that's one of the most powerful things that one could say. And so I learned that having emotions and certainly expressing them was unsafe a long time ago. And I don't think I'm alone. I think that many people feel, you know, that emotions are not safe to experience, and they're certainly not necessarily safe to share, depending on the emotion, obviously. And so, you know, this idea of, you know, being present to and experiencing and using it being the emotion as an opportunity for growth, really requires that you be present. And so I'll just speak for myself. I'm not always present to how I feel. I have to search for it. You know, but I can tell you what I think. But how I feel is not at the tip of my tongue to be able to express it. And so I love the idea that, you know, it's all a part of our humanity. And most importantly, it's, you know, once you get past a certain age, right, you know, it certainly may not be safe when you're a kid, but when you carry that into your adulthood and it's not safe for you to experience, or you feel like it's not safe for you to experience it with yourself, that's a problem, because you're denying a part of who you are. Or you may yourself be making it wrong, your emotions wrong, or your feelings, or you may feel bad that you have certain emotions and feelings. And that's the first, I think, place for some of us to be able to just say, no, I'm not wrong or bad for being exactly where I am. Like you said, it's not comparing it to some idealized way of where I should be, but I can use what I have right now to just be present to myself in a deeper and a more profound way. I love that. And that's actually one of the things I'm working on, is just, where am I? Because for some of us who dissociate from our emotions, I tend to not get caught up in my emotions at all. I get caught up in what I'm not even aware of how I feel. And so bringing myself to be present to my feelings, you know, what are they? How am I feeling, you know, right now?
You know, it's so interesting, Perletta, when children are asked about their emotions, they're so expressive and they get it. You know, they get where they're at, okay? But when adults are questioned about emotions, it's very difficult for them, because what they're doing is they're saying, well, my depression means that I'm weak or I'm inadequate or I'm defeated. And if I let myself feel it fully, I would just give up on my life. So I want to hurry up and overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, and for grief, you know, I see clients in my office and they think that they're so wrong for grieving. It just means, you know, they say it means that I'm pitiful, that I'm having self-pity. And if I feel it fully, I'll just never stop crying. So I just want to be done with it, Raj. Just fix me. Okay? So not only do these emotions feel bad, we think that we are bad for even having them.
So there's this judgment and criticism. Right, self-criticism
yes.
and judgment around the emotions. I gotcha.
Yes. So our distrust of these emotions, okay, it just totally nullifies their potential in helping us to learn from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Miriam Greenspan has done a lot of work in this area of emotional alchemy. And one of the things she says is, you know, there are things that we can remember about it. So energy of the dark emotions is not negative energy. It's just energy. So the word emotion means to move. So emotional energy can be used in some form for good, or it can be used for ill. All the emotions do is bring us information. So they by themselves are not good or bad. The second thing is, emotional alchemy starts with intention. You must get clear in your intention to use this emotional energy for the purpose of healing and transformation. Okay, so which we're talking about, Perletta, about the wallowing, that is not the intention of going within into our emotions. It's about healing and transformation. And and then another point is emotional energy is directional. So because remember, emotions, it sets us into motion, right? So it's going to go somewhere. So if we don't interrupt the flow, when you befriend this energy, it moves in the direction of greater harmony, healing, and transformation. However, if it starts to move in the other direction, it can become toxic. It can become, you know, it can lead to like shame, guilt, fear, all kinds of things. Okay. So the emotional energy is directional. And fear of the emotional energy aborts the emotional alchemy. So you are not going to be able to transform or heal anything that way. When you are not skilled in handling your emotions, the energy can easily convert to toxic emotions, such as apathy, inappropriate guilt, shame, envy, okay, which eventually is going to turn into a mental state, such as anxiety, depression, or even psychic numbing, which can turn into addictions and acting out behaviors. So it is important to unlearn our habitual way of thinking about and reacting to these challenging emotions. And then these dark emotions are purposeful. They are purposeful, and emotions do live in your body, so get connected to your body. You will be able to feel the sensations in your body. You'll be able to, you know, you'll be able to deal with the triggers at a much earlier level. Okay, and then emotions live in the world. So by that I mean, at one level, emotional alchemy is a process of going deeper within. At another level, it is about getting wider. So recontextualize your story, make it wider, because you know what? There are others out there that are feeling exactly the way you are. And getting wider, it's going to connect us to other people and to grow in our wisdom and compassion. So Mark Twain says, courage is the mastery of fear, not the absence of fear. Okay, go ahead, Perletta.
I was just going to say the biggest gain, I think, for me in this conversation is to just be okay with where you are, you know, and to be open to transforming where you are into something that serves you. You know, that's not hard to do necessarily, but it's sometimes a hard concept to to take in when you're dealing with emotions, because we're not really taught how to deal with them in a healthy way.
Yes. Good point, Perletta. So we are out of time. Join us next week for a very special show where we will explore the question, are you your best? Thank you for joining us on Living Life Powerfully. Feel free to reach us at pearlrajradio@gmail.com and like our Facebook page, Living Life Powerfully. Stay true to yourself. Stay empowered.
Enjoy your day.